Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
God bless you richly. Thanks for honoring God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. If you can have your seat. I'm so glad to be here this evening. Such an honor. I've been enjoying myself. I wish I was not preaching. So it would have just been a retreat for me. To get away from work, and Lagos is not, if God didn't send you there, don't go there. I cried the day God told me to go to Lagos, as in real tears though, because I had sworn that I would never live in Lagos. I'm Akure, born and bred to the world. I'm glad to be, but I love this place. There's sanity here. When we're growing here, we were normal people. Lagos is we were normal people here. Very normal. All you want to do is go to school, read very hard, be the best in class, and serve God very hard. You know, when you go to Lagos, you see grades of madness. The first thing I saw in Lagos, when I first moved to Lagos, why is everybody angry? Everywhere, perpetually, all the time, everybody is angry. Ah, where you know, actually, wherever. You just see somebody dressed, suit, early in the morning, going to work. You think this one is a banker, somebody normal. One change thing will just happen. So where, ah. Everybody is a potential worry somewhere. Everybody is angry. Everybody is mad. And the second mystery of Lagos, and I told God, I said, I'm not going to do this. I will never live like this. You will live in traffic. That's where they live. They live in traffic. They wake up 4 a.m. At that time, I was there with my auntie, 5-year-old child. There was one of my, I stayed with two aunties, but I stayed more with one. There was one I visited. The child was 1 year plus. 4 a.m. They are pouring water on his head. Ah. What happened? He said, we are going to school. I said, no, he's not going to school. You people can go. This boy is not going to school. 1 plus. In fact, the day I came, I saw his uniform on the line where they washed it. I thought it was dull, like... when a small child has a doll and the doll has claws, I didn't know it's a busy boy because the boy is very tiny. I didn't know that he's actual school and he's wearing uniform. So that day my auntie said he has to go. I said no. She said okay, finally come and know the school. Let's just go and know the school. So I followed them. I took the boy. The boy was 12 o'clock. I went to pick the boy. I couldn't. Immediately the boy saw me. Did you see the relief? 1 year, 5 months on his face. He just stood up and started walking out of the class. The teacher said, school has not closed. I said, we have closed. Me and this boy, we are done. We are so close. Throughout the time I was with my auntie, that boy wasn't going to school. The other auntie that I eventually lived with, our children too. 5-year-old and the other one was in later in primary school. 5 o'clock, they are dressing, they are going, what kind of life is this? And they'll be in traffic like that from 4 a.m. See 8 when they get to work, then they'll start again at 6 and get home at 11. Don't go to Lagos if God didn't send you there. But if God sent you to Lagos, yeah, sure God is leading you to Lagos, you can go. God removed me from that weary lifestyle. I resume my work 9. And my house is 5 minutes drive from my place of work. So, I followed God to Lagos. Praise God. I bring you greetings from my home church. My pastor, Mommy already mentioned, I'm from the governing church. Pastor Tayo Ladejo is my pastor. And I'm here with his blessings. He sent me here. And I'm sure that the grace of God and, you know, his spirit is here with us. And I'm sure that God's spirit will bless us in Jesus' name. I also bring greetings from my husband. He would have wanted to follow me, but my journey didn't allow him to, because I came, like Mommy was saying, I came from Kano. I didn't come from Lagos. So, but it's been a long time I left home. We are missing each other now. Soon go back. But I greet all the men and women of God that are here. Father Ogi! Should I tell them? I handed over to Ogi as president in FECA. That time we used to call him SI Unit of Revelation. When you share your rev, we will now measure it. This one is 3.5 Ogi. When it happens, you are 0.9 Ogi. This one is not. Ogi was SI Unit of Rev. In those days, my wonderful brother, it's nice to see you again. God has added to you left, right, and center. We give God praise. Hallelujah. I greet you, Pastor Bello, all the men and women of God. Thank you so much for inviting me and for honoring me. I've been in very good hands since I came. I thank you for your hospitality. It has been excellent. Please put your hands together for the sisters who have been... Praise the Lord. I believe God that this weekend we are going to have a really nice time. Tonight I will speak about the excellent ones, and I'll show us a portrait of excellence from the life of Daniel mostly. And then tomorrow it will be more workshop-like, so it will be hands-on. And I'll talk about the difference between a job and a career so that you can choose one. And I believe God that you will have a bit more direction about what you are doing or what you want to do with your life. And then on Sunday, by the grace of God, I will finish by talking to us about the more excellent way. So let's bow our heads and say the prayer. Father, we give you praise for this hour. Thank you for your love that has commissioned this hour. You want to move us forward in your will. You want to embrace us and bring us closer to your heart and to your purposes and to fulfilling your will for our lives, working more accurately in destiny and in purpose. And so, Father, we are asking for grace in this hour. I ask both for the speaker and for the hearers that, Lord, you will give grace so that your word can come forth accurately and that those who receive it may receive it with open and pure hearts in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because of what you have begun to do. Thank you, Father, for what you will yet do. Thank you, Lord, because by the time you are done with us in this summit, oh God, we will have moved to another place. We give you praise and glory because you are committed to finishing what you have started in us. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's open to Psalm 16. Let's start from Psalm 16. Verse 2. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my God. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied, who hasten after another God. Their drink offering of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are my portion. You are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines are falling to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. When we talk about excellence, we tend to think about it in terms of the good things of life, in terms of a better place, a better position, things that people can relate with and say that this is something that is valuable, that is nice to have or to be, that is of superior quality, that is admirable. That's how we think about excellence. But if we are to begin to understand excellence, how the Lord wants us to understand and to walk in excellence, because like Mommy said, we actually have a calling to excellence. All of us have a calling to excellence. It is true that excellence is a quality. When you hear the glory of God, we tend to think about clout. The glory of God is not clout. The glory of God is the manifestation of all the excellencies of God. So excellence is the nature of God and is the nature that we have as believers. And anyone who is not excellent will not properly represent God. And can I just say to you that you will live a miserable life if you are not able to live in who you are meant to be. If you are not able to express everything that God has put inside of you, you will be miserable. A lot of times the misery that we attribute to things that are happening around us are more attributable to what is happening on the inside of us. There's a discord. There's a distance. You can't place your hands on it. You can't really tell what it is, but there's just a deep dissatisfaction inside you that is eating you up and making everything around you frustrating. So when you cannot put your hands on it, when you do not realize that your dissatisfaction is internal, it is because there is a gap between what you are living, what you are experiencing in your day-to-day life, and where you think, or better still, where you know you are supposed to be and who you know you are supposed to be. There will be a lot of frustration. You know, one of the things that I hear a lot about these days is depression. I'm depressed. This other person is depressed. That other person is depressed. And when I probe sometimes and I try to find the root of this depression, I find that a lot of times, especially for, but it's not limited to sisters, it is general, the root of this depression is comparison. You look at somebody else's life without really admitting to yourself that it's Sister B's life that is depressing you. You just feel she's married and I'm not married and she has such a fine family. And then this sister says, I'm depressed. What is depressed? She says, I don't know. I just don't feel like praying. I cannot pray. I cannot read my Bible. What is depressing you? When you probe and you find out what is depressing Sister Agnes, she feels that she's useless. Look at the other person. She has this job that is so great. All the time, people tell me, Sokwe, I want your job. I say, you don't want my job. I promise you, you don't want my job. You know why people want my job? They want my job because they see that I travel a lot. That's why they want my job. I just want to be, today you are in this country, the other day you are in the other country, I just want your job. I say, you don't want my life. You work with my boss for one day, you can go mad. Not because he's a wicked person, but because his expectation is not even where you are. There have been people that they didn't even know what this guy wanted. They couldn't even interpret what he wanted. And they were frustrated out of that office just because of that. So before you look at another person's life, And people that travel in economy a lot will tell you that they don't like traveling. If I were traveling business class or first class, it would have been a different thing. But when you have been, you see the first few times your passport is stamped, you do, you shout at that. You don't look forward to long hours of layover. You don't understand. You say, okay, let me just travel first. Don't worry, you will travel. You will travel. Don't worry. But I was talking about depression, and I was talking about the gap between where people feel they want to be or they need to be or what they are supposed to be experiencing in their life and where they are. Social media makes it worse these days. I talked to a sister at some point and I said, let me tell you the problem. She said, what? She was expecting what? I said, Instagram. Instagram is what is depressing you. How much time do you spend on Instagram? I just knew it from talking a little bit. Your perspective is what is depressing you. And half of those things are lies. Take it from somebody that knows them. I know them. It's not true. It's called packaging. It's one of the madnesses of Lagos. Empty barrel. By the time they pack it for you, you are depressed. Your life is better, but you are depressed. Because you have your definition of excellence or success in the wrong place. It's off. What they call excellence is kami, kami, kami. You don't remember that? Did you allow? Did you release it to allow this Ajabota generation? You people didn't know. You remember that allow about kami, kami, kami? Mm-hmm. Shine, shine. Excellence is not shine, shine. Look at what scripture says here. Verse 3. As for the saints, look at verse 2. My goodness is what? Nothing apart from you. Some people came to Jesus. They said, good master. I said, nobody is good except God. Nothing is good except God. Let me tell you, you are seated here today. You have the best of things. You are in a church where Christ is being taught. And you are growing in the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. God has hidden you in this place and is feeding you. But you just think there's something else. You don't understand that there is nothing good apart from God. Nothing. There's nothing good apart from God. I'm not the president of Nigeria, but I've seen a bit. My sisters, there is nothing good except God. Nothing is good. Every day, the basis of my thanksgiving is that, God, I know you. You called me from when I was a child. You revealed yourself to me. It will save you a lot of headache. Some journeys that people take and it twists their personality, twists their destiny, twists the call, the purpose of God on their life, you will never take it. You will never have certain mindsets. You will never have certain emotional sicknesses just because you are protected in the atmosphere of God's word. You are already removed from some evil that is coming upon men. You're already removed. There is no goodness apart from God. And then it says, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones. The saints on the earth are the excellent ones, not the businessmen who are making billions of naira. I saw a tweet yesterday. Somebody said the SME consultants are now more than the actual SMEs. Can we please stop now? It's part of the packaging of Lagos. You don't understand. The people who are trying to be consultants for SMEs. They are more than the actual SMEs that exist. Does that not tell you that half of them have no experience of what they want to talk about, but that packaging that I said? And you are busy thinking that that is the excellence I should be pursuing. It is the sons of God that are on the earth that are the excellent ones. And it says their sorrows shall be multiplied, who is seen after another God. So, it talks about two groups of people. One, the saints, who are the excellent ones, and then those that are seen after other gods. Those that are seen after other gods are not saints. They are idolaters. They are worshippers of idols. And this, for me, this scripture for me, separates excellence from idolatry. So you can't have the excellence of God that comes from the goodness that is found in God, not the goodness that is in the tree of good and evil, but the goodness that is in the tree of life. That is the goodness of God. There's the excellence that comes from there. And there's the excellence that comes from idolatry. Did you get that? So when we talk about excellence, and it's very important for you to understand this, when we talk about excellence, we are not talking about pursuing idols. We are not talking about pursuing this world. And I will get to it. I will show you the portrait of excellence in Daniel. We are not talking about chasing this world. That's not what excellence is about. It's okay to aspire to be the best fashion designer, to have the biggest shop and supermarket or something. There's nothing wrong with your aspiration, but it must not be an idol. There mustn't be anything that will come before your pursuit of the knowledge of God. There mustn't be anything that God will ask for that you cannot lay down. Because if God is asking for it, be rest assured that it will give you back 100-fold in ways that you cannot even recognize that is that thing that you laid down, that God is giving back to you. So, when we talk about the excellent ones, they are not idolaters. They are not people who love this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the things that are in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Excellence is not the pride of life. Excellence is not Queen Bee syndrome. You know Queen Bee syndrome. She carry me. Peacock. All over the place, we are the ones that have this business, doing this. You know, I see so, recently I started praying one prayer in, you know, just going about my business in Lagos and seeing what people are doing. And I started to ask God, I said, please, God help me, may I not be full of myself? May I not be, people are wearing shoulder pads. Hey, God. People are full of themselves. On top of nothing. On top of nothing. There's an event that I used to be invited to. After a while, I told them, I said, look for other people. There should be other people in this field now that should be able to talk about some of these things. So look for other people. I'm a bit busier than, you know, this event. And I came across somebody that was invited. The year I declined to stop going, I came across somebody that was invited for the first time. Of course, me, I'm not loud. I'm not as loud as these girls. In fact, there was one of those girls that said to me, mentioned another girl in my organization. I said, are you this person? Because the person is more all over the place like them. So I said, no, I'm not. I don't live on social media. I live real life. So, but this person who was invited for the first time to this event that I've done and I'm tired of, and I've said, look for the younger generation to speak on these issues, had a shoulder pad attitude, you know, in talking to me about something. So I went to the people above her that gave her shoulder pads that are my friends. And I said, hold her. Actually, I wasn't nice when I was, because I just, I gathered all my Holy Ghost to step down, because my own shoulder part too was coming up. You understand? But I thank God I gathered my Holy Ghost. I held it. So I went to meet the people that I gave her shoulder part. I said, hold, leash your, let me not finish it. What do you leash? Hold it too. Hold it. I don't, please hold this thing. But you see, my attitude too wasn't good. Even though I didn't talk to her, I tried, you know. But there was something in me that was, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the people that I gave this shoulder part. That one too is bad. It's not a shoulder part competition. It's not meant to be. That's not what excellence is. I am the senior most advisor what do you have that you did not receive? If you received it, why are you behaving as if you are the creator? They are not calling us to pride by asking us to be excellent. To achieve a little and then have Queen Bee syndrome. Nobody must hear what they see us. We are the next big thing that is happening in the world. That's not what excellence is about. It's not pride of life. What does verse 5 of that Psalm 16 say? Oh Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. So you have a lot. You have a lot. There's something that is your portion in the land of the living. It is Christ. It is true that your portion, your lot, your inheritance is Christ. But there are aspects of it that are also interactions in this world. You remember that when God called them out of Egypt, that the nation of Israel, he said, I have called you so that you can come to me and be a nation unto me, a nation of priests and kings, and I am going to give you a land. The whole purpose was that it was taking them to Canaan for them to inherit it, and they would be a nation called unto the Lord as kings and priests. And that's our New Testament calling as well. We are called as kings and priests unto our God, and the land we are going to is what? Christ. The image of Christ, the likeness of Christ is our portion, is our lot in the land of the living. But you also remember that between the time that Israel left Egypt and the time that they entered the promised land was how many years? 40. Even though it was meant to be much less. But the point I'm trying to make is that, can you recall that when God gave them the law, there were things also called ordinances. So he gave them 10 commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Love your neighbor, don't covet your neighbor's wife, don't steal, don't kill. And then 10 of those things, honor your father and your mother. Then he gave them ordinances. These ordinances were about when you farm for 6 years and you leave it in the seventh year, you allow it to fallow. If something happens between you and your neighbor and you mistakenly hit him and he dies, there is a city of refuge until the judge comes. If somebody covets, forcefully lies with a girl, this is what happens. If somebody finds his neighbor's donkey going astray, this is what happens. You see, God didn't leave them in the cloud. You know, they were not living in cloud 9. Uh-huh. So, when being a believer, being a child of God, being a person of excellence, has dimensions of touching day-to-day life on this earth. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because as God gave them those laws, he also gave them statutes. If he gave them those laws and didn't give them statutes, there would have been problems. In fact, in the New Testament, there was problem. A lot of Paul's epistles, especially to certain churches, some churches were ahead of some churches. To say this, it was just to solve problems. we know you are born again, brother. These tongues is okay. But when you come together and you want to eat, wait for one another. Don't grow up. Don't grow up Holy Communion this way. As they were speaking in tongues, firing tongues, you know, that church that was gifted in the spirit and all of that, then somebody was sleeping with his father's wife. So Paul too had to write statutes. Paul would say, I'm not saying you should not marry. This commandment is from the Lord. This one is my own commandment. It is okay for our leaders and our mentors to add statutes just out of the experience and wisdom of going through life that God has given them. That's that scripture that mommy quoted, that older women teach the younger ones. Teach them. They say, I don't want to have anything to do with this. I just face God. I face heaven. Heaven is my goal. Heaven is my... You know, when people talk like that, they are either distorted in reality or they are living in denial. When somebody is not grounded in the faith and is trying to touch the deep things of God, you find a distortion in reality. That balance that mommy is talking about will be difficult. It will be difficult. Then there's a category two, that is just easier for that person to live in goofy la la land because this world is hard. You put in hard work in this life. Paul told one church, work with your own hands, mind your business, you face front. And if you find somebody that is not working, don't feed him. But when we touch this life and we see that, I ain't Leo, we just return to church. We go and enter the third realm there. And when somebody tries to tell you, brother, this is laziness, what do you want to do with your life? Say, I want to pursue Zion. Hello, what's your she, uncle? Hello, one can she. Hello, one can she. Go and do something. Something, anything. Somebody says, are you trying to say that God does not call again to full-time ministry? That's not what I'm saying. But by their fruits we shall know them. You can't bear fruits of laziness and tell me that it's full-time ministry that is worrying you. It's just, that's what I find. Is it that people are sincere but distorted in their reality because of wrong foundation? Or it's just easy to live in denial? Just easy to live. It's because I'm pursuing God. That's why my life is... If you are pursuing God, your life can be hard. I'm not even saying that everything will be smooth, but it will have direction. You will have direction under God. It will be clear that you are in a process and this is where you are going. The lines are falling to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a good inheritance. There is a season where you are going through as the excellent one and the Lord will be maintaining your lot. And then season by season, you start to come into that place where it is no longer a confession, it is a reality. The lines fall in pleasant places. And you see that truly my inheritance is a good one. The lines begin to fall in pleasant places and you begin to see that that loss that the Lord is maintaining for me, this my inheritance, is a good inheritance. Let's go to Daniel chapter 5. Or let me start from... Okay, I'll read a few verses in 5 and then maybe one in 6 and then I'll go back to Daniel chapter 1.
Five verse 10. So I
because of time, I won't read from verse 1. But you know this story of the Nebuchadnezzar's son. What's his name again? Belshazzar. One day he got very happy. Too much happiness was worrying the boy. He tasted one wine. He said, it's wine. Some of us, if you enter your destiny without process, the killing you kill yourself will not be small killing. When you finish killing yourself, you kill everybody around you. That's why God takes his time to take us through the things he takes us through. So this boy probably grew up in the palace all his life, has never had to wait for 1 minute for anything. If he points at it, they bring it, including human beings. So one day he drank one wine, and he said, this wine, there's no wine like it. If I go and bring all the cups in the house of God. You see, that one too is one type of excellence. It's called ayo. Ayo, ayo. No discretion, no judgment. You don't know what is meant for what at what time. So the boy said, go and bring everything. Fine, we want to use the golden vessels now is what we want to use to drink this cup and to praise our God. So while the boy was in the midst of his merriment, a hand came. When that hand came, sense came with that hand. The wine cleared straight. Bible says the joints of his knees was loosed and he knocked against one another. And he said, mommy! Then the queen mother came. Verse 10. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Now we come back up to Daniel chapter 1 to look at a bit about the history of Daniel. This tells me something about excellence. That excellence is, first of all, like mommy said, is a spirit. The queen mother said, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. Then what did he say is the content of this spirit of the holy God? Light, understanding, wisdom, interpretation of hard sayings. So this tells me that excellence has nothing to do with comparing the kinds of things that we wear and the kind of job that we do and the kind of homes that we're born in and anything. Excellence is about understanding and interpreting the will of God. In whom is the spirit of the Holy God, whom your father set above all his wise men, because of light and understanding and wisdom and interpretation of hard sayings. If you can interpret your life, let's not start with tongues of the other brother in church. If you can interpret your own seasons, excellence will come. If you have understanding, if you have light about your journey, what God is doing with you, about the season you are in, it will give birth to excellence naturally. Excellence comes from understanding, correctly interpreting the will of God for your life and for His will in your sphere. That is where excellence is found. So that's one thing I want you to take home this evening as a foundation. Excellence is understanding the will of God. And when I say understanding the will of God, I'm not even talking about God, what is your will for me to do in my life? Do you want me to be a teacher? Do you want me to be a preacher? Do you want me to marry brother A or brother B? You are complicating it and you are starting from the wrong place. Start from where you are today, now. You see, if you understand the will of God where you are, there was a season in my life, the understanding of the will of God for me was that, for that season, was to be subject to my parents, the way that Jesus was subject to Joseph and to Mary, even though he knew a bit more than them. You understand what I'm trying to say? It was in the days when Revelation first of all came. You know, what, see Revelation back called way. You first of all swing to the other side of the pendulum. I could not stand any man of God again. What are they saying? Nobody is saying anything that makes sense. And, you know, it wasn't that I didn't have any premonition, even though I didn't want it. I didn't want to be a preacher. It wasn't that I didn't have any premonition that, yeah, God may use me. And there were manifestations of it already at that time, you know, in fellowships that I belonged in and everything. But the will of God was not going to start. You know, I saw some people at that time in university that made shipwreck of their faith. We were in part two, part three, they were doing posters. They did poster. They now do like this. They did posters. People did things. In fact, there was one, he started Bible school. Are you sure you're supposed to start Bible school? Are you not supposed to go to Bible school? He started the Bible school. We were on campus. He started Bible school. So he came to me and said I should be the rector. I said, what did they used to do there? He said, I will be the head of the school. I said, Pastor, this thing. You see, even though I may not go to CAC at home, but our foolishness is in degrees. My foolishness, I'm not near that boy zone. The only thing is that I won't go to church at home. My mother will say, is it too born again too like this that you are not going to church? When you receive Christ, then you stop going to church. I say, I'm not going, mommy. The woman was very alarmed. I won't follow her to church. New Year, I'll say it's religion. January 1st, nothing like that. Where is it in the Bible that January 1st? I'll stay at home and watch movies. Tormenting the poor woman. But at least I wasn't as foolish as this boy. Me, I should come and become rector of Bible school. Since when? I said no. It's okay. I'm not doing no. You know what this boy did? He printed the form of the Bible school, put my name as the rector, signed signature that I've never seen before in my life. And he tried to hide it from me, but he was distributing the form to people. And I eventually caught wind of it. So I went to his office. He had office. It was a serious matter in school.
I said, Pastor, something.
Is this one not forgery like this? I told you, Amy. In the matter of God, to start Bible school, you forge person's signature. So he stopped talking to me. 2 weeks, I went back again. Pastor, so this malice. As you are keeping this malice, you are teaching Bible too now. Like. If you cannot interpret the will of God, you'll be very foolish. So it's not about doing. My dear friend was doing things. If you want to measure by what was physical activity, you say that's the excellent one. I say he had office. What are you not talking about? He had office. His faith was working for him, whatever that meant. I don't know how he was able to raise money. He will fill the covered pavilion. That's what we used to call it in OAU in those days. Fill the covered pavilion. Do healing meetings. Yes. And people give testimonies. They probably got healed. Sometimes God blesses our foolishness to the degree that I can bless it. For the sake of the people that have faith in him and came for us. You see, but by the time you look at the end of this, by the time we were in final year, this boy, of course, struggled with academics, as you can imagine, because there was no balance. So, by final year, his girlfriend at the time came to me and said, I am going to quit this relationship. I cannot do this anymore. I said, what happened? He said, I don't know. I don't understand how this guy is living. What had happened is that he saw in the Lord, fellow students. He distributed papers to them to go and write for him, to impersonate him in the exam hall. Yes. So the carryovers that he was having, he wasn't able to keep up with his academics. So the man of God now, that forged signature that day, has advanced in signature forgery. Now the sons are compelled. In fact, it was one of the sons that complained to his fiancé at that time that this is what Pastor so-and-so is forcing us to do. And the lady came and said, I can't, in fact, she opened the can of worms the day she came to talk to me. I can't do this anymore. Because I don't understand if this one is ministry or what it is. A lot of problems that were easily avoidable. Because you cannot interpret what the... Now, this young man may genuinely have the call of God upon his life. But the will of God at the point it was did translate to activities of ministry? Possibly not. Possibly not. So excellence is not always, they say we should be excellent. Now what can I go and do next? I'll go and start this, I'll go and start that, I'll go and open the other one, I'll go and Understanding what the will of God is. And let me tell you something. If you don't have a relationship with God, I'm not talking about high service, so. Because there are some of us now, we know how to service the church to believe that we are Christians. The only thing we don't have is relationship. You have time for everything else but to study your Bible and to pray. Let me tell you, this understanding the will of God, light, wisdom, and understanding is like software. It's a software of the Spirit. They write it. A new covenant will I make with them after those days. What did the Lord say? I will write my laws. In the place of when you are reading your Bible, when you are studying, when you are praying, God, I want to know you. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. You are worshiping on your own. You are reading Leviticus. It's not making sense. They are writing the law of your life. The law of your life is being written. When the time comes to make decision, you make the right decision. But when the thing is that no relationship, you don't want to do something now. God, watch. You hear voices. Voices are easy to hear. Thou my son be. You hear things. It's not easy that hard. It's not that hard. But when that software is being installed little by little, that is when scripture says, my sheep hear my voice, they know. If it is me, they will follow me. If it is a stranger, they will not follow. I was saying in church recently, I said, the confusion of some sisters is confusing me. I'm getting confused by your confusion. I don't know how a sister is confused. You are hearing God, how you are even hearing God about somebody that is not born again. Say confusion. I'm confused. Then they will say, they are now confused. Which part is confusing? Because even me, as you are talking to me, the counselor is confused about your confusion. I'm confused about your confusion. Your confusion is confusing the counselor. A lot of your confusion will be resolved if you pay attention to growing, just spiritual, not the one you used to preach or sing, not the one you used to become woman of God in the church. Just you, your heart. You know, there's a time when you are reading Bible. You are reading Bible because of what you will say when they call you, so that they will know that you are, can say something. Stop reading that type. Start reading the one for your life. Start reading the word for your life. And it doesn't have to be deep. Forget deep. I love you. Jesus, you are my God. I love you. Let's just live deep a little bit. And read Psalms and praise God and trust God, you know, for your day. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Trust God for your day. Trust God for your day. Then trust God for your week. Then trust God for the semester. Then trust God for the year. Then trust God for the next 5 years. Then trust God for the next 10 years. But if you never trust God for the day, and you never see the leading and the hand of God and the peace and the joy of the Lord bringing the will of God to pass on a 24-hour basis, you will never be able to interpret the will of God in the bigger decisions of life. You will not be trained to walk in wisdom and understanding and light. You will not be able to interpret nothing. And let me say this again, it has nothing to do with your type of job. Joseph, as the house boy. He was a house boy. Because when we talk about excellence, I say that that's the governor's wife. I want to be first lady. It's only when I'm the head captain of industry. Captain of industry. That is the only time that I am excellent. It's not captain of industry issue. Now, if God has put a dream in your heart to be a captain of industry, it is valid. And it will lead you into it. But excellence is not a tomorrow thing. It's a now thing. Joseph, yes sir, actually Joseph was a house boy. But a house boy with the understanding of what the will of the Lord is. House boy. You are not house boy. You. Joseph was a house boy. You are not a house girl at least. And even if you are, okay, Joseph was a house boy. But in being a house boy, he was the best house boy anybody could ever have. Because he understood what the will of the Lord is. It didn't take time. His master committed everything into his hands. This boy, he can handle anything. There was nothing the guy didn't commit into his hands. But wisdom and understanding of the will of God made the guy to uncommit his master's wife. He made the to uncommit his master's wife. My master committed everything to my body. This one is wickedness against my God. I can't do this one. And you see, with that excellence, please, where did it take Joseph? Prison. Because before we think that excellence always means that they will hear, everybody will now hear my name. I'll now win something. So I'll now be the greatest. Sometimes you'll be excellent, then you go to prison for it. You see, but you can't imprison the will of God. If somebody is living the will of God, it cannot be imprisoned. Seasons will pass over you, but the will of God can't be imprisoned. Daniel chapter 1. Seven, to whom the chief of the eunuchs gave name, he gave Daniel, again I'm not going to read from the beginning because of our time, but you know this story, the captivity of Judah to Babylon, and then Daniel and his friends were chosen to stand before the king. Now from among, verse 6, now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave name, Daniel Belteshazzar, to Ananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, to who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then he would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. As you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their feature appeared better and fatter. Sorry, I'm a bit distracted by their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who were the portion of the king's delicacies. Let's go to verse 18. Now at the end of the days, when the king said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the chief interviewed them. Among them all, none was found like Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them, he found them, how many times? Sisters, let me tell you something. You know what we hear affects us a lot? Jesus will say, you have heard that it has been said, but now I say unto you. You have heard that it has been said, but now I say unto you. You see, Daniel had heard that it had been said that his name was Belteshazzar. But this young man knew his name was not Belteshazzar. I'm saying that there are words that you have heard that have conditioned your thinking to define your identity in a certain way. And as long as it is what you have heard that defines your identity, you cannot go through the 10-day test and then be found 10 times better. We have been configured by what we have heard. If you have lived 18 years of what you have heard that you are, is the stature that is standing today. And for many of us, we do not consciously, and it takes conscious effort, we do not consciously replace what has been said with what the Lord is saying. And because of that, our identity is taken from our circumstances. Our identity is taken from what people have said about us. What's wrong with this one? what they said about you in the dormitory among your friends. Some of you are giving birth, but the experience of your secondary school friends is what is still shaping you till today. You see that thing that what you have heard that have shaped what is standing today. It doesn't respect marriage. Marriage doesn't take it away. Bearing children doesn't take it away. If you believe that you are less than others, you will constantly sabotage yourself in life. And sometimes the reason why you believe that you are less than others is because your parents constantly compared you with your brother. My father, hey, he's dead. That guy. When he's done abusing you, I had one cousin. You know those days when you say, daddy, pay. Then the remaining siblings, they will donate shock absorber for you. Because you may not come back normal. So this my cousin, she didn't have shock absorber. She didn't know, she just came. She came to do an exam, then she failed that exam. Then, that didn't fear, she went to the room upstairs. She was now coming out. The next thing we just heard, she just threw herself from, nobody flung out from the top of the staircase. Makuo! Makuo! I said, it has happened to this girl. Why didn't anybody want out before she went inside? She legit wanted to die. If my father talks to you, you will want to die. I would say, it was long. Oh, they feel more rushes to go on figure rushes hour. I'm telling you the truth. Shebi omo enyo leleyi. Shebi omo olajai, abi? E melo ni won ni ni. Now this man can the next second be the most loving person. It was just the way he knew how to parent. He didn't know better. But I'm not going to lie to you. I fought Iggy. Because somewhere you will go out and somehow believe that all the people that you are actually better than are better than you. It's not conscious. We would even joke about it. We would say shock absorber. When you are going, everybody will donate their shock absorber for you. So that you come back and you won't die, you won't throw your lemon out. Whoa. But unconsciously, it was there. And I went through secondary school with serious low self-esteem issues. I constantly felt like there was something substandard, something wrong. If I did my own thing, and I was brilliant, I was all that, but I constantly looked at these girls who had nothing but air. And I felt they were better. You won't know it's unconscious, but it's there. You just always feel that there's something wrong with me. I don't do things well. My own is always different. How many of you feel that it will work for every other person, but when it comes to you, something will go wrong? You can even help another person, it will work. But that your own, it will not work. Either through circumstances or through words that somebody said to you, the devil has preached a message to you and you have accepted it. This is my identity. It doesn't work in my tongue. And you know, it doesn't work in my tongue. You know what that thing can do? It will make you not even go near some things. When they say there's an opportunity in this place, you say, no. They are looking for the head, somebody to come and manage this place. You say, no. No, I cannot do those kinds. Do you know where they are looking for clergy? Yes. Say, I cannot do it. There are a lot of people that are doing entrepreneurship out of fear. At least if I say I'm selling corn, If I sell it successfully, I sell it. If I don't sell it, I don't. I didn't put myself out there for somebody to judge how I'm doing things. It's fear. It's fear. Daniel was a slave. It can't get worse than that. It can't get worse than that. You see, and when they brought him as a slave, they now took away his name. Then, as in, it cannot get lower than that. He was a slave. His kingdom had been... Are you a refugee? You are not a refugee. If I ask you are still living with your parents, worst case scenario, maybe your uncle, and you are still going to school, and you have this much low self-esteem, cutting yourself off the best of God because you believe that something is wrong with you, because something has preached to you that something, you are below standard. Daniel's kingdom was conquered. Daniel was a refugee. IDP camp. Daniel was in IDP camp. You are not in IDP camp. And you are struggling to believe God for your future. You are struggling to believe that just because you say Nigeria is hard, there is no job. It cannot work. But imagine that someone that is in ID can say, where is your family? I don't know. What is your name? Before the guy can answer, they say, they just put a name. There was a movie I watched about one of these tsunamis that happened in a South American country. I've forgotten. So by the time they rescued all the children and brought them to a place, some children were too young to remember their names or whatever. They were just giving them all kinds of names and pinning it on them. Imagine that that's your situation. That is not yet yours. You still have your name. You have an identity. Daniel didn't have they stripped him entirely of his identity. In an IDP camp. Without even your name. You are bearing the name of the foreign god. But Daniel was still able to say, they served him. They packed some of them together. And they started giving them some things. And Daniel respectfully said, excuse me, sir. I don't eat this. You don't get it. They said, beggar has no choice. The identity of Daniel gave him a choice. Sir, I'm a Jew. I don't used to eat pigs. I don't touch some things. I don't do certain things. Why? Because I understand the nation I'm from and the promise of God to that nation and the destiny of God over that nation, and that is where I'm going to. And it doesn't matter whether I'm in IDP camp today. The promise of God and the future God has for me is before me. Sir, I cannot eat this one because I'm a Jew. You see, when you have no identity that stems from what God has said about you, you will have no season of pursuing excellence because there is nothing to lay hold on. Nothing motivates excellence. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Money can tell you to tomorrow, do this thing well, be excellent. Do it well. You won't find energy in yourself to do it because of who you are. You have written yourself off. You have no vision. You have no goal. You have no picture of your future. Nothing. Nothing is motivating you to discipline yourself. To tell you that I deserve this. There's a routine that I started recently. I've been trying to start it. I will stop to fail. I'll tell myself, I don't have time. I don't have time. One day I told myself, Papa, you are going to do this for yourself. You do a lot of things for people. You go above and beyond in your place of work. This one, do it for you because you are worth it. You deserve it, so do it for yourself. It's discipline, it's a regimen, it's not easy, but I'm doing, and any time I want to fall, I'll tell myself I'm doing this for myself because I'm that fabulous. And I deserve this thing. How fabulous are you? What do you deserve? You have told yourself that I'm just Belteshazzar,
This world is not my own. I am just a passing through.
Like I said, I'm not saying pursue this world. But you owe God to finish your course in this world. Even Jesus had a book that was written. 33 years, he finished it. You don't know whether your book exists, much less what is in it. Your book is because they told you, Olodo Omowe. That's the book you are living. You are living the book that your that useless man that abused you, the book he wrote, that's the book you are living. You are living below what God has called you to be. The person that took advantage of you, the person that called you names, they say you are following man, you are a prostitute. So what? It's called Belteshazzar, it's not my name, I know who I am. It's okay. It's okay, what I won't touch, because I am a holy nation, I am a royal priesthood. I am living for the praise of him who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I came here for the will of God. There's a book I am reading, and I'm not going anywhere until everything that is written in it is finished. And because of that will, I will be excellent. So Daniel said, excuse me, sir. You know, you didn't preach to him. You didn't say, I am a Jew, I know. Just give me pulse and water. He disciplined himself. He determined in his heart, this is what I will do, and this is how I will do it. And I will do it very well. You see, there's a way that you view yourself. Anything you do it excellently. Excellently. It doesn't matter where you are. You do it with class. I worked in the ministry with Pastor Adejo for 5 years without doing any other job. And I could have worked in that place as if I'm serving where 2 or 3 are gathered. You know, there's what? You look around, you say, this is our church, it's not big. It's where 2 or 3, and you bring 2 or 3 are gathered mentalities to come and serve. Or you can serve in a way that what is coming out of you is the same portion that will serve nations is what is serving that where 2 or 3 are gathered. Because you know of the will of God. You understand the book. You are living your destiny. It's not about your pastor or how many people showed up in church. But you see, some of us are so fickle. So fickle. They don't see you in church. What happened? Now, I'd like them, Sister Bisi and Sister Taye, anything they are doing in that choir, I'm not going to say anything again. I don't even know what they did last year. That now, this year again. And mommy is hiding them. It's not even, I've left it for them, don't be stupid. We are talking your destiny, so you left it for somebody. Don't be stupid. Don't hand over your future to your past. Won't share me. Okay. Now, you want to hand over your destiny to the people that offended you. They talked about me. That because of that, I'm not doing it again. You don't understand your book. They've called you Belteshazzar and you are bearing Belteshazzar. That's what has happened to you. The exact name the devil has named that has stepped up to call you. That's exactly what your answer is. Fickle person. Person that doesn't know where she's going, he says, sir. Oh, yeah, follow you. He says, yes, sir. But there are some people, when the devil says, Belteshazzar, they say, you are not calling me. You are not calling. They've already called me from the foundations of the earth. Before I was born, I was known and ordained a prophet to the nations. My voice will be heard. And even if it is spending me and I am crying today, my name is not Belteshazzar. My name is not Belteshazzar. What is your consecration? One of my consecrations is I don't entertain strife. You want to fight? You will fight alone. It takes two to tango. Ah, no, my concentration does not accommodate strife. What is everything you accept it? You drink, you don't have boundary. There's nothing you don't do. There's nothing you do. I have covenanted with my God in the days of my school. I will serve God with my whole heart. You don't have that sort of covenant. You don't. Why? Because you don't know your book. You have no perception of the will of God. You have no understanding of your times and seasons. So your friends determine what you do. Your grades determine what you do. There was somebody I was talking to. And this person was making a decision in our marital life concerning our marriage. That decision to me was so basically it was not wisdom. But when I found out what was controlling that decision, I found out that it was what had happened to a relative, a member of our family, one of our aunties. So devil has installed one's evil software there. Just waiting for her to get married. And she has told herself, when this thing happens to me, this is what I will do. Programming. And it happened to her and she brought it out. And she did it. And of course you can imagine what happened to that marriage. Because this was somebody that didn't have... The name that our auntie's marriage called her is the name that she bore. Some of it is movie. She even tried. It's in real life. She means that at least reality is still directing this. Some of it is film. Watch movie. Africa Magic. American movie. There you are calculating. If it's me, I'll not even... Like, nobody-in-law can even do that with me. Never. Then you say, if it's me that has cancer, actually, I will cry. But what I will do? I'm telling you the truth. As women, we are that, we can be that susceptible. You feed your mind nonsense, and that is why, you know, in rounding up, we'll meet again tomorrow, but in rounding up this night, I want to encourage you, guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. You create a garrison around your heart, and you are careful, very careful what is going in, because that is what will come out. Be careful what is going in. I wrote here that, let me just read this in conclusion. Excellence begins with conviction. Because without conviction, there can be no devotion. And I think I already said that. If you don't have a conviction of who you are in Christ Jesus and what is written in the volume of the books concerning you, there can be no devotion. They will say it, you will try it next week. By next week, Friday, excellence is over. That's what will happen. You will come to church early on Sunday. You will show up in Bible study. You will try and do it. By Friday, excellence has finished. Because there is no conviction. Intimidation is another enemy of excellence. Who are you? What is defining who you are? Is it where you went to school? Who you know? Who your father knows? What is defining your identity? You are as unexcellent as you are, or let me put it this way. Hopelessness is a good place for lack of excellence to thrive. And when I say hopelessness, I'm not even talking in terms of the hope of resurrection, which is Christ, which is our ultimate hope. I'm talking about in terms of what is your understanding of the will of God.
What is your picture of it? What do you think that will be the end of that thing that you are walking in with God? You know that psalm where we're coming from says that the lines are falling for me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. What is your picture of the pleasant place? What is your picture of the good heritage? Let me tell you, I said it in the beginning and I'm going to say it again. The pleasant place and the good heritage, it is true, it is ultimately conformity to the image of Christ. But Jesus said something to Peter. He said, anyone who has left father and mother and everything in this world to follow me. Because Jesus was saying, Peter was saying, those of us who have left everything to follow you, what are we going to have? He said that person will have 100-fold in this world. And then in the world to come. And I find it happen with Daniel. 10 days, the guy maintained his consecration. By the time 3 years later and the test came, he was found 10 times better. He outlived kings. He was the light of both Judah and Babylon. He was the light of the world. You see that light that was in him? It lit the whole world in his time. He outlived Nebuchadnezzar, outlived Belshazzar, the Darius. That guy was the light of the world. But it doesn't mean that 3 times he will not open his window to Jerusalem and still be praying. But his lot was not found empty. That angel that was talking to him, he said, Daniel, go and finish your course. In the end, you will stand in your own lot. Me, I want to finish my course. And I want to finish the devil. You see, in this life, I'm pursuing eternal life, but you see, in this life, I will finish my course. The same way the fathers finished their course. The same way Abraham laid hold on everything that God had for him, including Canaan. He had Canaan and he had Isaac and he had the seed, which was Christ. Isaac, the same thing. Jacob, the same thing. One did not block the other one. Oh, do you know that Paul studied under the best lawyer in his days, Gamaliel? And the epistles were written by a law student. Go and look at it. You will know that it's the argument of court, especially books like Romans, Galatians. They were legal documents, legal arguments. If Paul didn't arise, we may have still been in Judaism till today because of what Peter and John, the limitation of what they had been able to get to. But this guy had revelation. But let me tell you how that revelation was able to profit his world, because he has studied under Gamaliel, a studious law student. When he put forth the gospel, if both kings and fishermen, when you know what is at stake, excellence will become natural. Excellence will become natural. I want us to rise up on our feet and just talk to God tonight. Just talk to God about maintaining your lot. You want to come to that pleasant place where the lines fall in pleasant place. But he said, as for the saints, they are the excellent ones in whom is almighty. Like God delights in you. I want you first of all to realize that God delights in you. You are the apple of his eye. He's not defining you by your mistakes. He's not defining you by where you have been. He's looking at what he has invested in you and where you are going. He's the one that maintains your lot. I want you to commit your heart to God again tonight. I want you to say, Lord, I want to consecrate myself afresh unto you. Give me an understanding of your will for my life. I want to understand the books so that my excellence is not fickle. My excellence comes from a place of understanding your will. My excellence comes from a place of commitment to your will.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.